All right, so we are holding Peches Amud Aleph, seventh line. We're still in the middle of figuring out, we're still in the middle of discussing the Machloikas of Yossi and the Chachamim, when the Torah was given, whether it was on the sixth or the seventh of Siman. We went through a variety of different brises and took in an effort to try and prove one way or the other. We said either some of them, these brises, we said were specifically according to Rav Yossi, some were specifically according to the Chachamim. The psukim themselves can be reconciled according to both of them because we have the idea that Hosef Moshe Yomach Midaita, that Moshe added on his own, of his own volition, an extra day. Take us now. That's fine.
What's the dust, sorry?
Peches Amud Aleph, seventh line. So we're going through this machlokes still of Rav Yossi and the Chachamim of when the Torah was given, whether it was on the sixth or the seventh or seventh. So the Gemara says Toshma, Rav Yossi Omer. Let's prove from a Braisa as follows, where Rav Yossi himself says, Basheni Olam Moshe V'Yorad. On the second day of Sivan, which according to Rabbi Yossi is also the second day of the week, Monday, Olam Moshe V'Yorad, Moshe went up to Har Sinai, and Hashem told him the part over there, V'Atim Tzivli Mamlachas Kohenim V'Goy Kodesh, V'Yorad, and he went down and told the Jewish people that, which is, again, why we call Beis Sivan Yom HaMiyuchas. It's the day of distinction, the day that Hashem told us that we're going to be a distinguished nation. V'Shlishi Olam V'Yorad, then on the third day, the next day, he also went up, and Hashem told him the mitzvah of Hagbolah, that they have to stay off Har Sinai, the Yorad, and he came down and told the Jewish people. The Dalad Yorad Veshuvayola, on the fourth day, on Wednesday, which was also the fourth of Sivan, he came down and he didn't go back up again until Matan Torah. So the Gemara interjects one second, what do you mean he came down? He had to have gone up in order to go down. Elabrvi Olav Yorad. No, what we mean is that on the fourth day, he went up and came down, and that was it. Then he didn't go up again until Matan Torah. On the fourth day was when he received the mitzvah of Prisha, the mitzvah that the husband and wives should separate from each other for 3 days.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome. So we're going through the schedule, the timeline, the days before Matan Torah. We're saying Rabbi Yossi had said on the second, third, and fourth of Sivan, each of those 3 days, Moshe went up to Har Sinai and received a message from Hashem and came down. On the fifth day of Sivan, Moshe built a mizbeach and offered a korban on it. This is what's described at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. If you don't mind, by the way, if you guys can put yourselves on mute, there's a bit of background noise over here. Put yourselves on mute, please, and then if you have a question, then unmute yourself. Thank you. On Thursday, on the 5th of Sivan, Moshe built the Mizbeach and offered Korbanos on it, and you have the whole thing in Parashat Mishpatim over there, where he read the Sefer Abrius, and the people said Mass of Nishma, etc. Bashishi lohei leknai. Now, the key part is, the Braisa finishes off, on the 6th day, he had no spare time. So what do you mean he had no spare time? My lav mishum Torah. The pashtus, why not? Because the Torah was given that day. So he didn't have time to do anything else because on that morning the Torah was given to all the Jewish people together. So in that case, that would show. Now this Braith is Rabbi Yossi himself. So on the face of it, then that would mean that Rabbi Yossi is saying that the Torah was given on Friday. So we're saying all this time that everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, and it's just a machlokes whether it was the 6th or the 7th of Sivan. Now it sounds like Rabbi Yossi himself is saying it was on the 6th day. The answer is loy, mishum Torah Shabbos. No, when we say that he didn't have time, he meant because he's busy preparing for Shabbos. So in other words, so when we say he didn't go up to Har Sinai that day, not because he's receiving the Torah together with the rest of the Jewish people, and Hashem tells him, you stay down there with everybody else. And then you and Aaron will go up separately, and then Moshe comes down, and then Hashem speaks to Esther and Dibris. But rather, it was they were busy preparing for Shabbos, and therefore he didn't have time to go up to Har Sinai that day. And in fact, the Torah was given the next day, Shabbos. Okay. So no proof against Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says another thing. Dorash hahu glila alei zerav chista. A certain person from the Galil one time gave a drasha in front of Rav Chista. Alei literally means above Rav Chista. So Rashi explains over here. We also had earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed that the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva, whatever sits and the Darshan stands. So it looks like he's above him. You have it similarly in the Pasuk, actually. You have by Surafim Omni mean Ma'aloi. It means the Surafim stand above Hashem. It means they stand in front of Hashem. Yeah. So this Glila gave a drasha as follows. Brich Rachmana, blessed is Hashem, the Yahav Orient Lisoi, who gave a Torah made out of three parts, which is, Rashi says, Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Ritva mentions a couple of other possibilities. He says it can also, another possibility is it can mean Nigla. It can mean Nigla. What is it? He says it can mean Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, and Torah HaKabbalah, Torah HaNister, or he says it can also mean the stories of the Torah, the halachas of the Torah, and the Nister of the Torah. Whatever it is, the Torah is made up of three parts. La'am tlisoi, Hashem gave it to the people made of three parts, Torinim, Levim, and Yisraelim, al yudei tlisoi, through the third one, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the third born in his family, because Miriam and Aaron were older than him. B'yom tlisoi, on the third day, meaning the third day of their of Prisha, the Yarchat Lisoi, in the third month, which is Sivan. So Kaman Kerabanan, that Zerosha was according to the Rabbanan, because according to Rav Yossi, it was actually on the fourth day, because we said Moshe added an extra day of Prisha. So therefore, it comes out according to Rav Yossi, it wasn't really the third day. Now you could, in a certain sense, you could. Rav Yossi could say that it means the third day of complete Prisha, because again, we said yesterday in the Gemara that the reason why Moshe added an extra day is because the first day, Wednesday, did not have the night together with it, because Hashem first told him the mitzvah in the morning, but it's more straightforward to understand the Yom HaTlisoi on the third day as meaning according to the Chachamim. Moshe told them Prisha to separate from their wives on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, so Shabbos is the third day.
So prior to all this, Hashem spoke to Moshe, didn't have to go to Har Sinai, right?
So
for some reason now, every time Hashem spoke to Moshe, he was every day, every time he was going up and down, or...
Yeah, so each time, each of the days before Matan Torah, Hashem had some message for Moshe. You're a Malachas Kohenim, you have to separate.
That's
it's
right.
True, Moshe could hear from Hashem anywhere. Why after Hashem told him to go up to Har Sinai? Each of those times, I don't know. Okay. By the way, Rav Nissim Gaon, you can see on the side of here of the Gemara, points out a whole bunch of other things, that there are a whole bunch of other threes that are associated with the Torah and with Jewish life. The word MS is three letters. We have three others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe is from the third Shevet, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And Levi and Moshe themselves have three letters, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a whole bunch of threes. So what's the deeper idea behind that? So there's many different explanations. One particular point that it talks about in many places in Chassidus is the idea that three represents you joining together. You have like this. You have the right side, you have the left side, you have Kava Chesed and Kava Gvura, and then you have Kava Tiferes, which joins them together and makes them all interoperate together. So therefore, so in that sense, the Torah is associated as much as possible with the number three to represent this idea that the Torah is all about taking and integrating all the opposites of the Gashmias and Ruchnias and integrating them, Chesed and Gvura, and integrating them and so forth. And therefore, you have all these threes associated with it. That everyone's talked about in the Sikha, you can find it in Hesopus, in Ches, in particular, when we say over here the third month. So what it means is there's the Avodah of Nissan, where Nissan, we had Yitzhak Mitzrayim, pure Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out without us really deserving it at all. Iyar is more Yitzhak Mitzrayim, it's also Hashem gave us the money and whatever, but it's more we're keeping Shabbos, we're doing whatever, we're learning to start growing as a nation, and then Sivan integrates those two things, and is therefore Chodesh HaShlishi. Marsha over here talks about something similar. He says that each of these threes you have in each of these groups of three, the second one has an advantage over the first, and the third one has an advantage over both of them. So he says, for example, let's say when it comes to the Torah, you have Ksuvim is written with Ruach HaKodesh, Nevi'im is higher than that because it's written with Nevuah, and Torah is higher than that because it was dictated directly by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yisraelim have a great, the Levim are greater still, and the Kohanim are the greatest of all. And the same thing with Moshe and his siblings. Miriam was a Nevi'ah, but she didn't deal anything with mitzvahs. In particular, we don't find any mitzvahs that Hashem gave through Miriam. Aaron is greater, certain mitzvahs were given to him. Moshe, the whole Torah was given to him, etc. So now that's it. So now we're setting the set. So now we're done with the machloikas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. We've shown that's it. We have these two different opinions. We have some braises and some teachings are never like one, some like the other, but we have ways of reconciling them. And worth mentioning, by the way, an interesting thing I saw from the Beis HaLevi. He says, in a way, both of them are true. He says you have to distinguish between the giving of the Torah and the receiving of the Torah. So what do you mean? He says, on Omid Beis, we're going to have the story where Moshe comes up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, and the Malachim are arguing Ha'itachin, the Torah belongs by us in Shemayim, and Moshe proves to them that they're wrong, and the Torah belongs down here on earth. So to speak, the Beis HaLevi says, you could say that Asher, at that point, when Moshe defeated their argument, that was on Vav Sivan, so at that point, the Torah is going to be given to the Jewish people rather than to the Malachim. Then the next day, on Shabbos, on Zion 7, according to Rabbi Yossi, Hashem actually gave the Torah, we Jewish people received the Torah, and Hashem announced the Esther's Adivah stuff. So there's both. There's Nesinas HaTorah and there's Kabbalah HaTorah. Two different things. No, so the Beit HaLevi is learning that those were actually on different days. We also touched on yesterday, by the way, a number of Rishonim and Achronim talk about the point that when you get down to it, Shavuos, now, Shavuos is the 50th day of Sfirat HaOmer. Whether we go according to the Rabbanon or according to the Yossi, it comes out that the Torah was actually given on the 51st day of Sfirah. Because we said before, we said yesterday, that the year they left Mitzrayim, the first day Pesach was Thursday. Matan Torah was saying over here either way was on Shabbos, whether it was Vav or Zayin 7, just depends on whether Iyar had 30 days or not. So it comes out, if you think about it, if the first day of Pesach is Thursday, then it was like this year, the first day of Sfira is Friday. So therefore, the 49th day of Sfira is going to be a Thursday. The 50th is going to be Friday. And the 51st is going to be Shabbos. So it comes out that they actually received the Torah on the 51st. Either way, according to the Chachamim or according to the Jesus. So we mentioned yesterday what the Magen Avraham talks about, brings from the Asara Ma'amores, the fact that Moshe added one day is what empowers the Chachamim later on to add Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. But the Chlal, though, they talk about the idea. So first of all, we did mention a braisa from Seder Olam that said that Yetzias Mitzrayim was actually Friday, and in that case, it comes out that the Torah was actually given on the 50th, like it should be. But if not, if we say that it was Thursday and Shabbos respectively, then that's what it means. That in other words, so when we say in davening Zman Matan Torah Seinu, but actually in terms of what Shavuos would usually have had to be in those days, it would have had to be that year on the 5th of Sivan, because that would be the 50th day.
Everyone agrees that it was given on Shabbos.
You have the machlokes, you have one braisa that we brought at the top of this Amud that says that Yetzias Mitzrayim was Friday. But the majority opinion says that it was Shabbos, and that it was Thursday, rather, and from Thursday to Shabbos comes out to 51 days. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go on to talking about various other aspects of Matan Torah. The Pasuk says, Vayisyasu b'sachti sahar. The Pasuk says, they stood at the bottom of the mountain. Now, the expression tachti sahar is unusual. It means, l'ragle yahar, it would have said, or something. So tachti sahar literally means underneath the mountain. So Amar of Abdibe Mechama b'achosa, melamed shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleim et sahar kigit. It means that Hashem overturned the mountain above them like a barrel. So in other words, where it wasn't just over them, it was around them also. A barrel has an inside. So it's literally completely surrounding them. The Amalahem, and Hashem tells them, Im atem makablam haTorah mutav, if you accept the Torah, then good. The Imlav, and if you don't accept it, Shom tehei kvuraschem, then you are going to be buried over here. Now, Tosfos asks the Kohen, what do you mean? They said, Nach of the Nishma. What does Hashem need to force them to accept the Torah? The Tosfos says, because when they see the tremendous fire and their neshamas are going out, as the Gemara is going to say later, they might change their mind. They might be afraid and say, you know what, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. So Hashem has to kind of, so to speak, force them into it.
Hashem on top of the mountain, coming down the mountain, and he picked up the mountain at the same time.
Yeah. Hashem is Kaliyachol, right? But Hashem is not any more on top of the mountain than anywhere else. Shechina appeared on top of the mountain, but Hashem himself is everywhere. Yeah. There's a number of other different explanations about why, about what it means, Kaf Alem, how to do this, and why Hashem had to do it. There's a medrash that says that actually what it was is because the Jewish people were willing to accept Teresh B'chassan, but they had to be forced into accepting Teresh B'alpeh. There's an idea that a number of the Mephoshim mentioned. It's also brought in a number of places in Chassidus, that what it is when this that Hashem forced them into, what are we talking about, is, look, I mean, what? How did the Jewish people come to Har Sinai in the first place to receive the Torah? Is pure Yisrusa de la'ela, pretty much. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem did us all this chesed and so forth. It's like, it didn't necessarily have to be a forcing so much as, like, if you have a natural thing, as if a person does a whole bunch of favors for somebody else, one and another, then eventually he feels a certain obligation, a normal person feels a certain obligation to whoever's doing all that good for him. That's the level of obligation that the Jewish people felt, where, like, they had no choice when Hashem is offering them the Torah. How could they refuse it with the tremendous Ava, with the tremendous outpouring of Ava that Hashem has chosen to them? And ultimately, the idea is, it also talks about Chassidus. I mean, so on the one hand, the Torah could only be given when we accepted it. It had to be not to the Nishma. But the fact of the matter is that human avoda b'koyach asma only goes so far. In order to receive the Torah, which is Chochmasa, Rasonish, Shalach, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to bring it down into our world and to make it that our mitzvahs have an effect all out of proportion to what we do, it had to be that the Torah was given with this kind of thing, with Kaf Alem, how to do this, in order that it's not just human avoda, but that it's brought about, Torah is given through Hashem's initiative. Omer of Achav Yaakov Mikan Mojah Rabba Vayraisa. So Rabba Achav Yaakov says, from here then we have a strong Mojah about the Torah. A Mojah is, suppose that you have a person, for example, is forced to sell something. Let's say you have, for example, the local mafia are forcing him to sell you, you know, nice business you got there, shame if anything were to happen to it, that kind of thing, you know. So he can go ahead of time to Beis Din or in front of Adim or whatever and make a Mojah and make a declaration saying, I'm only doing this because I'm forced to. And that way he has recourse later on he's able to have Beis Din go and cancel the sale and get him and so forth. So over here, there's a Mojah Rabba Loraisa because the Jewish people can say, we were forced into receiving the Torah and therefore we shouldn't have to keep it. Rava says, nevertheless, though, there's not a permanent Mojah Rabba Loraisa, because eventually the Jewish people reaccepted it in the times of Achashverosh because of the next Purim that happened over there. As the Pasuk says, the Jewish people fulfilled and accepted. Now, on the surface, it's talking about the mitzvah support him over there. But in that case, it should be first kiblu, first they accepted it, and then kimu, then they observed it. So what it means is kimu masha kiblu kvar. They were observing the mitzvahs, which they had already previously, in 1,000 years earlier, accepted at Har Sinai. Among the various explanations, Rishonim talk about in that case, then how did Hashem punish them? We have the next Purim happened during Golos Babel. Meanwhile, before that, you had there had been the Churban, there had been the Golos. So what's going on over here? If they had Mojah Rabba Loraisa, how could Hashem punish them? So there's a number of different answers. One of them is that, in fact, when we say Mojah Rabba Loraisa, we don't mean that there truly is. The fact of the matter is the Jewish people did accept the Torah, at least to some degree, willingly, not the Benishma. And Hashem warned them over and over that if you don't keep it, then there's going to be consequences. So when we say Mojah Rabba Loraisa, some of the Rishonim say, I think the Ran and the Ramban, for example, say it means that, for example, the Minim can claim, we don't keep the Torah, okay, but we have an excuse. And Rava is telling them, okay, at one point in history, maybe you had an excuse, but you should realize you live now. After the time of Achashverosh, there are no more excuses. Other Rishonim talk about the fact that even if we say Mojah Rabba Loraisa, there is also the fact, on the other hand, Hashem promised us Eretz Yisrael on condition that we keep mitzvahs. So therefore, when they didn't keep the mitzvahs, then out they go. But that's not the same thing as saying that they didn't have an excuse up to that point. So one of the explanations is actually that the Mojah Rabba is in particular when the Jewish people went into Golos. when they went into Golos, they would have the ability to argue that, look, the whole reason Hashem gave us the mitzvahs is in order as a condition of living in Eretz Yisrael. If we're not living in Eretz Yisrael anyway, if we're anyway in Golos, we should be able to do whatever they want. And we find, in fact, the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that there were people in Yechezkel's time who thought that way. Why should we have to keep the mitzvahs anymore? If Hashem sent us into Golos, it's like a husband divorces his wife, like a master sells off his slave, and we have no further obligation. And Hashem tells Yechezkel to explain to them that you're wrong. No matter what, I'm ruling over you, Hashem says, regardless whether you like it or not. But that's the majority of Abba Raita. And then Rava is saying over here, in the times of Ahasuerus, when they saw everything that happened over there, they saw how Hashem saved them. And in particular, we have the famous thing that the Alter Rebbe explained that for the entire year, when Haman's Zeder was hanging over their heads, nobody gave up Yiddishkeit. Nobody decided, fine, we'll just become a goy, and that way we'll be spared. So now they reaccepted the Torah voluntarily, and from now on, there are no more excuses. My dichtiv, what does it mean? The pasuk says, "Mishamayin nishnat adin." From heaven, you Hashem made there be heard din, a judgment. Eretz yara v'shakata. The earth was fearful and quiet. So what do you mean fearful and quiet? Im yara lama shakta. The im shakta lama yara. If it was, what was it afraid for and then quiet? What's going on over here? Elavatchila yara alavasayf shakta. I mean, first the earth, before Hashem gave the din, the Torah. First, the earth was nervous and trembling, and then it was quiet. Now, why? First, it was afraid, and then it was quiet. The lama yara. So, why was the earth afraid before the Torah was given? So, kidur shlokish. It's based on what the shlokish says. The amr shlokish. My dichtiv by yer by berke yom hashishi. Why does the Torah say, by all the other days of my separation, you have yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi, etc. Only the sixth one is it, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. So why the extra hey Yisera Lomali, Melamet Shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ma'aseh Bereishis? It means that Hashem made a tnai, made a condition with Ma'aseh Bereishis. V'amalehem, he says to them, Im Yisro Mekablam HaTorah, Atem Meskaimim, if the Jewish people receive, accept the Torah, then you will continue to exist. If not, then I'm returning the heavens and earth to Torah Vavoyu, to their original unformed state, because then the world has no purpose. So the earth is nervous now. Are the Jewish people like this? All the other nations already had turned down the Torah. Are the Jewish people going to do that as well? Then the world has no basis for existing. So therefore, Yorah was afraid, and afterwards, after they received the Torah, then Shakata, then it was quiet and calm. So that's the Yom HaShishi, Rashi explains, because there's the same way that we find in other places that an extra hey means the special one. So it means, in other words, the whole Ma'aseh Bereishis depends on that special Yom HaShishi, that special sixth day when the Torah was given. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi before, it was actually the seventh, but still, we said, Hosef Moshe, Yom Echad Midaita, that Moshe added the extra day on his own, and therefore the original schedule, so to speak, was that the Torah was supposed to be given on the sixth. So the Drasha still works. Also, Rabbi Yossi could say it means the sixth day since Hashem started speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu and preparing the Jewish people for Matan Torah, because we said on the first day of Sivan, when they came to Har Sinai, Moshe didn't say anything to them. Hashem first started talking to Moshe and Moshe to the Jewish people on day Sivan. The Beis Gimel Daled Hei Vav Zayin. It still works out. It's the sixth day of all that preparation. Okay. Donish Rav Simoi. B'shar Sheik Dimu Yisrael Nasa L'Nishma. When the Jewish people said Nasa before they said Nishma, which means that we will do what the Torah says before we even understand it. Bo Shishim Riba Shemalachi Asharas, so 600,000 Malachi Asharas came down, L'chol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael Koshu Elo Shnei Ksarim, and they tied on to each Jew two crowns that came from the glory of the Shechina, Rashi says, Miziv Shechina. Tosfos phrases it a little bit differently. They're from the glory of Hashem. So two crowns, Echad Keneged Nasa, the Echad Keneged Nishma. One corresponding to Nasa, one corresponding to Nishma. Any Lubavitcher Chassid, I think, who hears the word B'shar Sheik Dimu, immediately the first thing they think of is Hemshech Ayin Beis, which begins with those words, where the Rebbe Rashab uses that as a jumping off point to give us an entire encyclopedia of Chassidus in three volumes over there. But one point that's made over there and in a number of other Maimorim that begin B'shar Sheik Dimu is that we're saying there's two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma, meaning the implication is that the fact that they put Nasa before Nishma not only makes it that they get a great schar for saying Nasa, that we will do the mitzvah, but also that makes the Nishma itself so much better, and therefore Nishma itself deserves a separate crown. In other words, if they put Nishma before Nasa, then it would be, okay, Nasa would deserve a crown, but Nishma would be nothing particularly special. But like this, each one of them has a mila of its own, and therefore it deserves its own crown. The Kivet Jechotu Yisrael, when the Jewish people sin and worship the eagle, Yodu Meyev Esrim Ribay Malachi Chabalah, then 120,000 destructive malachim came down, Upirkum, and they took off those crowns from them. Why do you need double as many malachim? Tosfos, in fact, asks the question, what happened to Midah Tova is greater than Midah Koranus? Usually we have the rule is that Hashem, when Hashem rewards, the reward is greater than the punishment. We find in the Aseret HaDibros that Hashem says that Hashem says over there, people who are showing, Hashem punishes them up to four generations. Hashem does kindness up to 2,000 generations, so 500 times as much. So why over here do you have double as many malachim? Tosfos says just the opposite. The good malachim are able to put on both crowns. The bad malachim are each only the destructive malachim are only able to take off one crown each. So therefore, like the Malachi Asherah has twice as much power as the Malachi Chabalah. Marshall talks about a different aspect of it. He says the two crowns over here that we're talking about represent the crowns of Kahuna and Malchus. When the Jewish people said Nasa v'Nishma, they became deserving that they were going to have a Kahuna and they were going to have a kingship. Twice in Jewish history, those things were taken away, at the first Korban and at the second Korban. Therefore, that's represented by there being two malachim for each person, one taking off one crown, one taking off the other crown, representing the two times, representing the two korbanos when kahuna and malchus were taken away from us. So the malachim took them off. Shenemar, as the passage says, "Vayisnaslu bnei Yisrael as ed yom mehar chodim." The Jewish people were stripped of their finery by Har Chorev. Har Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. So their finery, these crowns, were taken off. The Sherish of Vayisnaslu is Nosal, which means to empty out. You have, for example, Vayisnaslu as Mitzrayim. They emptied out Mitzrayim. So that's what it means. They were emptied off. They were stripped off of their edyam, of their literally means their jewelry, their ornaments, but it means these crowns. They received these crowns at Har Sinai, and they were stripped of them also at Har Sinai, because they were still at Har Sinai at the time of the eagle and for several months afterwards. We said they received them at Chorev, as we said, the Malachim put them on them when they said Nasa and Nishma. And they were stripped of them still at Chorev, as the Pasuk says, they were stripped of they stripped off their finery, Mehar Chorev. So the symbol meaning Mehar Chorev would mean the finery that they received at Har Chorev, they took off. But now we're saying that also it means at Har Chorev is where this took place, that these crowns were removed from them.
Well, how long did they have them for?
So they had them for the from Matan Torah until the Chet HaEgel, and then shortly after the Chet HaEgel, they were removed. The Pesukim, in fact, say over there that once Moshe told them the bad news, that Hashem is not going to lead us into Eretz Yisrael, he's going to send a Malach and whatever. So the Pesukim say over there in Parshas Kisisa that the people were sad, they didn't put their crown, they didn't put their edyah, they didn't put their jewelry on, and Moshe tells them, remove it, because Hashem is still very upset with you. And then Vayisnasku b'nei Yisrael. There's actually an interesting explanation that what it means is the Jewish people took off one of the crowns, to begin with, of their own volition, because they realized, okay, listen, we messed up on the Nasa. We messed up on undoing the mitzvah because we did the wrong thing. And Moshe tells them that the Nishma crowns are also gone.
What's the meaning of Har Chorev?
Har Chorev means the mountain. So we're going to talk about tomorrow about Hashem. The Gemara is going to tell us that Har Sinai actually has five names, and we're going to discuss why it has those names, what each of those names signifies. But yeah, in different places. In most places, the Torah refers to it as Har Sinai. In a number of places, including here and in many places in Devarim or whatever, it calls it Har Sinai, and then you have a few other names.
How much time was it between when you received the Torah until the end of the Chet HaEgel?
40 days. They made the eagle, remember, because they thought Moshe's not coming down after on the 40th, what they thought was the 40th day, and they got nervous, and the Sultan showed them Moshe's bed, etc. And then, yeah.
So the Hashem first said, gave him said things to fire up the heart when he came down.
Right.
And then he actually gave...
And then he gave the luchas to Moshe on which the episodes they did were inscribed, right. Okay. Amr of Yechanan, v'chulam zochem Moshe v'nachlam. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Moshe had the schus to get all those crowns, all those 120,000, all those, not 120, 1.2 million crowns, because two crowns for each of 600,000 people, Moshe was zochah to get all of them. In fact, Tosfos said that's where he got the glow of his face. We said these crowns came from the radiance of the Shekhinah, so therefore, when Moshe had all these crowns, that's why his face shone. Because the next pasuk after this fight, not for Bnei Yisrael, continues, Moshe yikachat ha'oil. Moshe took the tent. So where do we see what's the connection? So Rashi says two explanations. First of all, since the pasuk says Vayitznas b'Bnei Yisrael, and the next pasuk continues in Moshe Yikach, so it means we take the words of Moshe Yikach a little bit out of context and say it doesn't just mean he took his tent and pitched it outside the Machna, it means he took all those crowns that were removed in the previous pasuk. Or Rashi says another explanation. The word Oihel itself is related to the word Vehiloi Neroi, which means a shine, which means a glow. So in Chassidus, it talks about, for example, the idea that when we say Hallel, it's when there's a special glow of a lakos in the world, and that's why we say Hallel, also related to Behiloi Neiroi. So the same thing, when it says Moshe took the Oihel, it means Meloshen Behiloi, it means Meloshen, this shining, this glow. It's work, by the way, I think, in Kisvei HaRizal, that every year gets them back on Shabbos. We have the two crowns on Shabbos, and then after Shabbos, they go away for the week. Shama Rezacha, yeah. Amr Shlokish also that Hakadosh Baruch Hu lachzir amanu, and Shlokish says in the future Hashem will return those crowns to us. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Duriyah Hashem Yeshuvun," the ones who are redeemed by Hashem when the Mashiach comes will return. Uvo Tzion Berina, they will come to Tzion, to Yerushalayim in joy. The Simchas Olam Al Roshem, and a happiness forever will be on their heads. Which what it means, Simchas Olam, doesn't just mean it's going to be forever that there'll never be a Golos again. It also means Simcha Shem Ne Olam, means the Simcha that was of olden times, that was in the past, Ne Olam, that was in the past, Al Roshem, will be on their heads. So we'll have back those crowns representing the simcha with which we accepted the Torah.
There'll be much more crowns because there'll be much more
yidden. Well, yes, you're saying there's much more yidden. I mean, when you get down to FN, first of all, you have the women and children also. You know, you had, when we say 600,000, it means the men between 20 and 60. That's not counting the men below 20, above 60, the Levim. It's not counting the women, the children, the Erev Rav, etc. And the Chalal, even among the born Jews themselves, right? We have in the census in Parshas Bamidbar, it says there were 603,000 and change. What it is there are 600,000 primary neshamas among Jewish people. Everybody else's neshamas are outgrowths, are branches off those primary neshamas. So when we say 600,000 crowns, we mean each primary neshama got these two crowns, and then you have like an offshoot or glow of them or whatever goes to whichever other neshamas are associated with them. So nowadays, yeah, when Mashiach comes, we have Baruch Hashem nowadays in the world, we have 15 or 16 million Jews, Kain Yerbu. So yeah, what it means is there'll be 600,000 crowns, which then the ruchnius of that will be divided up among more people, like when you light one candle from another and the original candle still has its flame. Amar Rav Elazar, b'shar sheikh dimu Yisrael nasa b'nishma, again, when the Jewish people said nasa before they said nishma, yotza basko v'omra lehen, a basko came out and said to them, mi gila levonai rozesh a malach asheres mishnamchim v'y. Who revealed to my children the secret that the malach asheres knew? The malach asheres know this kind of thing. Dichtiv, boruch hu Hashem malach, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem's malachim, bless him, giborei koyach, the ones who have mighty power, who do Hashem's word, they listen to the sound of Hashem's word, meaning first they do, then they understand. So the Malachim, I like that. So Hashem is saying, how do the Jewish people discover that concept, especially since Marsha says, Malachim have no Yetzahara. Hashem says to do something, and they immediately, almost instinctively do it. A human being has a Yetzahara. So where did the Jewish people get the power to be able to do that, to overcome like that, and be able to say that we're going to accept the Torah before we even learn it and understand it? So in this connection, what does it mean? A pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says, like an apple among the trees of the forest. So in context, this is part of, it's part of the whole description over there where Hashem is praising the Jewish people and the Jewish people are praising Hashem. So in what sense, lama nimshi Yisrael l'tapuach, in what sense are the Jewish people compared to an apple? Loi malach, it tells you like this. Ma tapuach seh period kodem la'olav, just like with an apple tree, the fruit comes before the leaves, unlike most fruit, well, unlike most trees, where first the leaves grow and then the fruit starts growing. Apple trees are the other way around. Although Tosfos says, not an apple tree grows like any other tree, first the leaves, then the fruit. Tosfos says, tapuach over here actually means an esrog. And an esrog tree, it's true, when you have, there are leaves on the tree, the leaves in fact last all year round, but you have the esrogim themselves stay on the tree from year to year. And esrog will continue growing as long as it's attached to the tree. So therefore, so you have last year's esrogim are still there when this year's leaves are growing. In that sense, the fruit is there before the leaves, unlike most fruits. But just like that, the same way the Jewish people, like unexpectedly, put Nasa before Nishma when you would have expected, like all the other trees, that's the thing, like all the other trees of the forest, all the other nations, they said first Nishma, let's hear what the Torah has to say, and then if we like it, then Nasa, then we'll do it, and each one of them turned it down. The Jewish people did the other way around, so in that sense, they're compared to an apple or to an apple. The Gemara tells in this connection, Hahut Zduki, the Chazi of the Rava, there was a Zduki who one time saw Rava, Dukoma Ayin Bishmaida, he was deep into learning Torah, the Yosves Ba'osa Didei Tusikara, his fingers, Rava's fingers of his hand were underneath his feet. Become Mayas Bahu, and he's squeezing on them, and he didn't realize he's so partiffed in learning Torah. He didn't realize he's squeezing his fingers, and blood is become Maban Fa'ase Dhamma, and blood is coming out of his fingers. Amalei, so the Tzduki says to Rava, Amak Ziza, you hasty nation, you impetuous nation, Dekadmitu Pumaychu L'Udmaychu, you put your mouth before your ears. Because you said Nasa and then Nishma, how you talking? What do you mean we're going to do the Torah? But you promised something with your mouth before you even heard with your ears. How you talking? You should first see whether the Torah is something that you can accept, whether it's something that you're able to fulfill. Akati b'pachus zaycho kaimizu, and you're still in your hastiness, you're still in your impetuousness that you're not even thinking what you're doing when you're learning Torah. You should have first listened and said, let's find out what the Torah contains. If you're able to accept it, then you accept it. And if not, then you won't accept it. So you did that originally, and you're still doing the same kind of thing, and you're not thinking straight. So Rava tells him, the difference between you and us is like this. Anan, the Saginin, the Shlemusa, we Jewish people go in Shlemus. We rely on Hashem that we rely on Hashem that He's not going to give us more than we can handle. As we know, the famous Gemara, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Bavitzrunu in Briyos, that Hashem doesn't make unfair demands of His creatures. So we know to be able to trust Hashem on that, and therefore Ksidbon Tumas Yisharim Tanchem. So the pasuk says about us, pasuk in Mishlei says about us, the tumas, the simplicity, the wholeheartedness of the Yesharim, of the straight ones, Tanchem will lead them in the right direction. In other words, we knew that we could rely on Hashem, and therefore that brought us that Hashem is able to give us the Torah. The Derech Shadim Reitz Leilach Melichinoi. So we know the way that a person wants to go, Hashem leads him. So we showed ourselves that we want the Torah, that we trust Hashem to give us a Torah which is fair and which we can keep and so forth. And Hashem reciprocated by Tasha giving us the Torah. As opposed to Hanach Inshin, those people, meaning people like you, the Sagan Ba'alvi Musa, who come with trickery and with dishonesty and whatever, I can't trust you, I need you to show me the money, as they say, before I'm going to trust anything. Sid Bahu, about such people, it says, the continuation of the same politics, the Selef Bordim, the crookedness of the deceitful ones, Yeshodim will destroy them or will throw them down. So in other words, you're that kind of person. Yes, you and the other goyim are that kind of people, that if Hashem offered you the Torah, you would never have received it. You would never have accepted it because you would have said, we first have to hear what's in it. We don't trust Hashem to give us a Torah which is valid. And they, of course, so you end up being thrown down and destroyed. You don't receive the Torah, and also love it. Hashem is going to show that everything that you accomplish, Gemara says at the beginning of Masechta Avodah Zarah, that everything that you accomplish for civilization is really worthless if you didn't do it for the sake of the Torah. As opposed to us, to begin with, we trusted in Hashem that He's going to do the right thing by us, and sure enough, He gave us a Torah, which we are in fact able to keep, and which gives us all the advantages in Gashmi, all the advantages in Ruchnius and in Gashmius as well. Okay. What does it mean? Another pasuk in Shir HaShirim. You have made me love you. You have made me close to you. Achosi Kala, my sister Kala. Throughout Shir HaShirim, the husband over there was always talking to his Kala and enduring terms like that and calling her my sister. Obviously, she's not his sister, but it means I consider you as close to me as if you were my sister. Because you think about it, you have a few different kinds of love that a man has for a woman. There's the kind of love that a man has for his mother. There's a different one that he has for his sister, and then there's the one that he has for his wife. Each one has milus and a different one for his daughter. Each one has milus compared to the other one. So you have the relationship between a man and a sister is a very naturally close one. So, you made me love you with one of your eyes. So what do you mean one of your eyes? So it means, to begin with, Hashem is saying, you attracted me to love you with one of your eyes. And when you actually do, because just by accepting the mitzvah, and we actually do the mitzvah, then you'll be attracting me with both of your eyes. In other words, the idea is, that you have, Marsha explains, you have two different kinds of eyes, two different kinds of seeing. You have gashmiistic seeing, and you have mental seeing. So you have, like this, the Jewish people started out with the mental seeing, that they're accepting the Torah, that they're accepting in their mind, we're going to accept it. And then therefore Hashem says, that already attracts me, that already makes me love you. And when you actually do the mitzvahs and you see them with physical eyes, then it's all the greater. Then you have not only the nishma, but also the nasa, and the nasa even coming first. Oma Ula. So Ula says in this connection, speaking also of Matan Torah, and then the aftermath, unfortunately, was the eagle. Oma Ula aluva kala mezana b'sech chupasa. So Ula says, how shameful is a kala who's mezana while she's still in her chupa? So like this, the Jewish people are still standing on Har Sinai 40 days later, and already they made an eagle. Amr of Mori brought of Shmuel. So Rav Mori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said, why do we call him that? It's a famous thing because his mother had been captured by the Goyim, and one of them had relations with her, and she became pregnant. Afterwards, this Goy actually became a ger. He's called throughout his mother Isur Giora. But nevertheless, la halacha, he's not considered related to his son because the son was conceived while the father was still a Goy. So therefore, the son is called Ramori, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. His yichus is after Shmuel rather than after his father.
He was a yid, really.
So Ramori himself was a yid to begin with, because his mother was Jewish. And his father eventually became a ger as well, but nevertheless, he and his father are not considered related in halacha. You have actually a whole Gemara in Baba Basra about it, involving implications of that in halacha as far as dinim of Yerusha. So yeah. Anyway, so he says, Mikra, what's the pasuk that expresses this idea that the Jewish people were mezane even while they were at their chuppah at Har Sinai? Another pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ad Sham Melech B'Mitzivos, while the king was at his banquet, Nudi V'Goyim, where the pasuk finishes off, Nudi Nosan Rechoy, my Nerd, which is one of the spices, a type of spice that we have in Peter Makhtoris, Shiboylos Nerd, Nosan Rechoy, gave away its fragrance. Nosan, Rashi says, Ozav Rechoy Atoy V'Achoyim, it gave away its good fragrance to something else. So like it lost its fragrance, in other words. Omer Rav, the Rav says, V'Adayin Chavivusa Hi Gavon, nevertheless, though, we still see, even the Pasuk is mentioning something derogatory about us, still the Pasuk is written in a way that shows how much Hashem still loves us. D'chiv Nosan V'Loi Kosev Yisriach. Because if the pasuk could have openly said that this nerd, that this fragrance actually became disgusting and smelly, or Tosfos says, okay, it wouldn't have used a derogatory word, like it wouldn't have used a word like smelly, but fine, it could have used a word like orav rechoy or ozav rechoy. Instead, it uses the word nosan, which after all, on the surface, has a positive meaning. So therefore, so it's true that even though the Pasuk is criticizing us and saying what, how badly we acted, nevertheless, Hashem still shows his love for us by like putting a euphemism for it, by not putting openly that spoiled and became bad. So since we mentioned this word aluva, the Gemara has another drasha related to the word aluva. Aluva means embarrassed or humiliated or whatever. Aluvin ve'enin oven, people who other people embarrass them and they don't embarrass back. People talk to them with chutzpah, but they don't talk back with chutzpah to others. Shomen chepasin ve'enin meshivin, they hear other people making fun of them and they don't answer back. They do mitzvahs out of love for Hashem, and they're happy when Hashem brings Yisurim. They're happy for this embarrassment because they realize it cleans up their averus. About such people, the Pasuk says, the ones who love Hashem will be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. One connection between these people and the sun is actually, we know, famously, we have the famous story that the Gemara tells us in Chulin, where the moon complained, that it's impossible for two kings to share the same crown. Hashem ends up telling the moon to go make itself smaller, etc. The sun hears the moon complaining and saying, in effect, you know, I should be bigger and you should be smaller, and it didn't react. We don't find the sun speaking up. So therefore, a person who acts like that, where other people speak badly about him and he doesn't answer back, has this cult of being like a son. What's the connection of this over here? So again, on the surface, the connection is just because since we said aluva kala, so we say aluvin vein and oven, because it's all the same Shodesh. Rabbi Yaakov Emden talks about, he says there's a deeper connection also. He says when you get down to it, this that we're talking about, the ego, in a way, we Jewish people have a certain built-in excuse. Hashem kind of set us up to it. Hashem, first of all, put us in a very, very difficult position, what with the Satan and everything, but also the Chalal. We have, for example, the Torah presupposes throughout it that people are going to die, that there's going to be a golos, et cetera, all the different kinds of consequences that happen as a result of the ego. And we know, in fact, our Pai and Shana Kodma Torah Lo'olam, so it's like Hashem predetermined that all of this is going to happen. So we could have an excuse and say, what do you mean, Aluva Kala? Hashem set us up. And nevertheless, we still, when we have the Yisurim that come as a result of it, and Golos and so forth, and we have the Goyim making fun of us and saying, look what a depraved nation you are, that you did this after you received the Torah, and we hear it and we don't answer them back, and we accept it, and we accept the Yisurim, and we accept everything, Ba'ava. So that's the connection. The Rebbe talks about somewhat similarly in a Sticha that the Alter Rebbe brings in Igeres HaTshuva. Mentions about the idea that when a person is doing tshuva for averus, the afterwards part of it is if people are making fun of him, he won't react because he'll realize that's part of the yisurim. He needs to clean up his averus. And after that, brings at the end of Perek Yudalef of the Geras Hatshuva this concept So it's the idea. In other words, the Jewish people, after they made the Egel, afterwards they did tremendous tshuva. And nevertheless, we still have that we have Yisurim and we have embarrassment and insults and everyone. We still accept it all Ba'ava because we realize it helps clean up that Aveira. So that's also the connection. Okay. Amr Rav Yechanan, my dichtiv, what does it mean, apostle? Hashem, this is in Kapitel Samaches of Tillin. Bechlal, Kapitel Samaches, a lot of what it talks about in there is all about Matan Torah. Last week we said Tikkun Leil Shavuot. If you notice, you have the Chalal and Tikkun Leil Shavuot. You have the beginning and end of each parasha and each sefer of Nach and so forth. And then you have inserted here and there are parts that are said even though they're not the beginning and end of something, but because they have to do with Shavuot or there's something else important or whatever. And we have, when we get to Tillim and Tikkun Leil Shavuot, you have Kapitel Aleph and Kuf Nun, fine, because that's the beginning and end of Tillim. And in the middle, one of the Kapitlach you have there in the middle, it's Samaches. Why? Because that is the capital that talks about Matan Torah. So therefore, it's very appropriate for Shavuot. So here we're going to darshan in a pasuk. Here we're going to darshan a pasuk from that capital, and further down on the Omud, we're going to darshan another one. My dichtiv, Hashem yiten omer. Hashem gives a word, hamivasrei sabar rog, which gives news to a great to a great host, to a great army. So what does that mean? The Tzava Rav means all the nations, all the many nations, all the millions of people that are in the world, billions, whatever. whole dibra v'dibra shiyotz in the piyag vurda, every word of the after the dibra that came out of Hashem's mouth, nechlach with shivim the shonis, was divided into 70 languages. So that way all the nations were able to hear it as well. So one idea is this way the nations have no excuse to say, for example, well, we didn't get the Torah because Hashem didn't, even though they'd already been offered it and they turned it down, nevertheless they could still say, okay, but when we heard that it's not so bad, maybe we would have accepted it, and nevertheless they didn't. So that takes away that excuse. There's also the idea, which the Rebbe talked about several times, that this gives the koyach that now later on we're able to learn Torah in other languages. Like right now, we're sitting and learning Torah in English, and we're still accessing Chochmoso to Tzonei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which wouldn't have happened if the Torah was given only in Lashon Kodesh. Moshe, by the same thing, before Moshe passed away, it says the same thing. He said the Torah in all 70 languages to the Jewish people. Same idea. Tony Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, a similar idea from a different pasuk. The pasuk says that the pasuk compares Hashem's words, uchasatish yifoitzet sela, like a hammer that shatters the rock. Meaning, ma pasish zen nechlach the common is this, just like the hammer divides into many sparks, when you hit a hammer on a rock, then you have many sparks come out. The same way every utterance, every saying that Hashem that came out of the word of that came out from the mouth of Hashem was divided into 70 languages. Tosfos gets into a discussion over here, and there's a couple of other places in Shas where this expression is brought about a Papasha Shifoitzet Sela, and Tosfos gets into a discussion, what do we mean exactly? Do we mean, on the face of it, the Pasuk means that the hammer shatters the rock, but the Gemara is saying over here, the hammer shatters and produces sparks. So what is it? So does it mean the girsa has to be different? Does it mean maybe that we're talking about a hammer that's hammering on a very hard rock like sapphire? And Tosfos brings from a medrash that in fact somebody once tried that. Somebody took a piece of sapphire and put it on an anvil and tried banging it with a hammer to break it. The hammer broke and the anvil broke and the sapphire still stayed intact, showing how hard it is. So it couldn't mean that. A few different possibilities.
Rabbi Alex, why was it in the time of the Greeks that it's considered a chashecha when they forced them to translate the Torah into Greek?
Well, one thing is because then they actually had to change certain things in the translation, as we find in the Gemara Megillah. So the fact that they had to translate that, the fact that they had to dumb it down for the goyim, is itself a tragedy because it takes away, But over here, when Hashem is saying it in the 70 languages, he didn't have to do that. But besides that, there's a difference whether it's orally or in writing, like if they have it in writing and they can claim that it's their own Torah, like if they hear it orally when Hashem is giving it to the Jewish people and they hear it as well, they know if they want to accept it, good, but if not, it's not theirs. Like this, when it was written down, then they're able to claim that it's actually theirs. They're able to start misinterpreting and distorting it, as we know that they did, etc. Omer of Hanan Abba, my tichtiv shimu kinigidim adaber. What does the pasuk mean when it says, a pasuk in Mishlei, listen, because I will be speaking negidim. Negidim literally means princes, so it means like prince-like words. Lama nimshal v'divrei Torah k'nogid. Why are the words of Torah compared to a prince, to a nobleman? Loimalach, because it comes to tell you, ma nogid zeh yeshbe lahomet v'lachis, a nobleman, a prince, whatever, has the power of life and death over his subjects. Ach, divrei Torah yeshbe lahomet v'lachis. The same way, divrei Torah are able to make a person, are able to kill a person or bring them alive. What does that mean? Hainu d'omer Rava. Like Rava says, l'may minin ba sama d'chaye, for those who do the Torah with the right hand. So for those, it's a samchaim, it's a potion that gives them life. L'mas me'ilim ba'al samadimosa. For those who go to the left with the Torah, it's a samamolis. What do we mean right and left? So Rashi, we have this expression, my minin ba'al previously, on Daf Samach Gimel, and Rashi explained over there that it means that the person delves deeply into Torah and tries to understand it as much as possible, like when a person uses their right hand to do work, where you do better work. Most people are right-handers. So they do better and more detailed work with their right hand. So that's what it means, as opposed to Masbi Ilanbar, according to that, would mean people who just like they learn it superficially and they don't care to get into the details. Over here, Rashi explains it differently. And then, well, it's just similar, but not exactly the same. they occupy themselves with the Torah, and they're busy to understand all the secrets of the Torah, like a person uses his right hand, which is his primary hand. So that's the Maiminimba versus the Masmiimba. In other places, it talks about, and other Mepharshim explain a different idea, that Maiminin and Masmiimba means people who learn Torah Lishma, I think Rashi himself explains elsewhere, versus people who learn Torah Shaloi Lishma. Now, we know that Shaloi Lishma is not really such a bad thing either. We know, famously, the Torah Shaloi Lishma, Bo Lishma. Even if a person is learning Torah, not Lishma, eventually he'll come to Lishma. But Tosfos, in a few places, talks about there's different kinds of Shaloi Lishma. There can be Shaloi Lishma, for example, because let's say a person finds Torah interesting. Okay, let him learn it, and eventually he'll come to Lishma. Mitoich, in fact, it talks about chassidus. I mean, within the shaloi lishma, there's already a lishma because the neshama really is getting something out of it. But then you have the kind of shaloi lishma where the person is learning Torah lekanter. He's using it. He wants to use it in order to pride himself over everybody else. Look what a great Talmud Chacham are, and you guys are all a bunch of amaraftim. Or even to use it as a weapon against people, like to use his knowledge of Torah in order to cheat people or whatever. So that kind of thing we're saying over here is a samamamam. Dabar Acha, another explanation, Negidim. What does it mean, again, when we're comparing the Torah to Negidim, to princes? Kol Dibur V'Dibur Sh'yatim Fi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word that came out of the mouth of Hashem, Koshrim Lo Shnei Ksarim, the word itself had two crowns on it. Now, what do you mean? A word itself is an insubstantial thing. The word of Hashem is not. As we know, Royim Es HaKolot, they could see the Kolot, the Pasuk says. So the Kolot actually had a form that they could see, and therefore each one had two crowns on it. Negidim is in plural, so I mean two crowns. Okay. Omer b'shir ben Levi. My dichtiv, what does it mean, another pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Tzror hamor dodi li ben shaddai yolim. The pasuk says, my beloved one is like a bundle of myrrh. Myrrh is a type of spice. We talked about it previously. It's either musk that comes from an ant. Some of the Rishonim say it's musk that comes from an animal. Others say it's myrrh that comes from a plant. It was one of the ingredients of the Torah. Whatever. My beloved one is like a bundle of myrrh to me. Bein shodai yolin. He rests between my bosom. What does that mean? Omra knesses Israel of Nakash Bofa, Rebodin Shalom. Even though my beloved one, Hashem, causes me trouble and makes me bitter by the eagle, whereas we said before, Hashem made them remove, the Malachim came and removed their crowns, and they're being punished with all kinds of consequences. So even though Hashem was very upset with us and made it very harsh and very bitter for us, nevertheless, Ben Shaddai Yolin, and Hashem right away told them to make for him a Mishkan, and Hashem's Shechina rests between the bottom of the Arayin. The Gemara mentions in Yoma, Rashi brings it over here, that the poles of the Arayin stuck out into the Parochas. So when you look in front of the Parochas, they look like the two bosoms of a woman sticking out, and Hashem's Shechina, so to speak, rests there. So we're saying that even though we have all these harsh consequences of the eagle, nevertheless, Hashem didn't give up on us, and he told us to build him a Mishkan, and his Shechina rested over there. The next pasuk continues. Eshkol Akofer Dodi. And in fact, by the way, you have an interesting discussion. There's a three way machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban and the Zohar about the order of the parashiyos over there. When we say that in Parashat Truma, Hashem gives Moshe in Parashat Truma and Tetzaveh, Hashem gives Moshe the instructions to build the Mishkan, and then in Kisisa is the eagle, and then by Yaakov Kuda they actually make it. What was the actual seder of things? Was it that only after the eagle that Hashem tell them to make a Mishkan? Or is it that Hashem told them to make it even before the eagle? You have a few different possibilities over there. And so one idea of it is if we say that Hashem told them before the eagle and then they made it after, it means that even at the time of the eagle, Hashem is already planning that there's still going to be Ikur Shechina B'tachtonim, even while they're making the eagle, that he's still preparing the place where there's going to be, where his Shechina is going to rest. So even at the time of the Chet Eagle, the Hashem didn't give up on us. Then the next pasuk continues in Shir HaShirim, Eshkol HaKofer Dodi Li B'Kamei En Yedi. My beloved one is like a cluster of kofer. Simple meaning kofer is another type of herb, another type of fragrance. B'Kamei En Yedi, in the vineyards of En Yedi. So what does that mean? How do we douse in the pasuk? Eshkol we douse in Misha Kol Shaloi, the one to whom everything belongs. Eshkol Meloshin Ish. Koil, Meloshin Yesh Koil, that he has everything. So that means Hashem. Mechaper, the code for Meloshen Hashem is mechaper for me. Al avon yudi, for the Avera involving the Gedi, shekaramti li, which I piled up for myself. Now, what is a Gedi? So Rashi explains two explanations. Number one, the word Gedi basically means the young of any animal. Even though we usually translate Gedi as a young goat, Rashi explains over here, and actually when we say, by Bosa B'cholav, right, but Rashi explains on the Pesukim, based on the Gemara and Chulin, that actually the word Gedi in and of itself means any kind of young animal. When it means a young goat, it says Gedi is in. So that's kind of how we know that Bosa B'cholav applies not only to goats, but to other types of animals as well. So over here, the same thing. It means a young animal. What was the young animal? An ego, which is a baby cow, a calf. Or Rashi says, another explanation, the reason why he uses the word Gedi, Meloshin Gedi, is because the word Dad is a word of Avodah Zarah. We learned at the end of the sixth parak, when we were talking about Dalchei HaMori, about the different superstitious practices that a person is not allowed to do. So one of them was, a person is not allowed to say, God Gedi Usnukloi, be mazled with my mazel, and don't sleep. That would be, Rabbi Yehuda actually said over there, that God is the name of an Avodah Zarah. So a person who says that is actually invoking Avodah Zarah. So the same thing over here, but Kaimei En Gedi, with Darshan Gedi, as Meloshin Avodah Zarah. So Hashem forgave us for Ein Gedi, Meloshin Avoin Gedi. Ein instead becomes Avoin, because Vav and Yod are easily interchangeable. And Gedi means the young goat, or it means the Avodah Zarah, which we worship. The young animal, or the Avodah Zarah, which we worship. Shekaramti li, which we gathered and piled up for ourselves. Meaning, Rashi says, because we find the Gemara mentions, based on the pasuk, when it says when it wasn't just they worshipped the ego, they wanted to worship many different avodah zarah. Ela ele kecha Yisrael. These are your gods, plural, Yisrael. So they wanted many different gods. But I piled up and I gathered for myself all of these avodahs, all of this avodah zarah. My mashma dahai time lishna de mashmishu. Where do we see that the word karmi means gathering together? Alma mazutra brezer of nachm kiditznan. As we have a mishnah in Kalin, kiseh shokoybish. You have a chair belonging to a laundry man, which on which they pile the clothes. Rashi described that it's actually made as a long board of wood, so it's made sort of like a chair, but it has a lot of holes in it. You put mugmo, you put incense underneath it, and then you can pile the clothes on top, and you burn the incense, and then the clothes absorb the fragrance. So therefore, we see the Mishnah uses the word over there, shekurmim, meaning they pile up the clothes on. So we see the same thing, they gather the clothes and pile up on it. So the same way we hear b'karmei en gedi means that we're saying about the avodas that we piled up and gathered for ourselves involving avodah zarah. Another pasuk in Shashim says his cheeks are like a bed of like a flower bed of spices. So what does that mean? Every word that came out from Hashem's mouth, the entire world was full of fragrance, of spices. So either because l'choyav means his cheeks, so it means, so to speak, that Hashem spoke with his mouth to us, or l'choyav, meloshem luchas. We actually had a few days ago, where Tosfos quoted this in connection with when we were talking about an aruga, a bed of vegetables over there, six tefachim by six tefachim, that the connection is the luchas was six by six, and the bed over there where you plant vegetables is also six by six. The plot, the garden plot. So the l'choyav karuv there. So the question is, given to me, Dibra Rishon Nismale, if the whole world is already full of fragrance after the first Dibra Sheni Lahechan Olach, so what happens with the fragrance that comes with the second Dibra? The answer is, Hoytia Kosboch, Horuach Meistro. It says, Hashem brought out a wind from his treasure houses, Voyamavu Rishon Rishon, and it blows away each fragrance to Gan Eden. And Gan Eden, being much bigger than the world, as the Gemara mentioned elsewhere, then it had room for all these fragrances, and therefore there's room now for the next one. Moreover, as the pasuk says, Hashem's lips are roses or whatever shoshanim, some kind of flower, notefos moreover, which are dripping with flowing myrrh. I'll pick with shoshanim ela shoshanim. Don't read the pasuk shoshanim, meaning roses or lilies or whatever shoshanim are, but rather shoshanim, those who lure. So when they learn, each one of the divras that we learn from Hashem, there is myrrh over, this flowing myrrh, there's fragrance filling up the whole world. But I'm going to describe a lady. Called dibur b'dibur, yotzen, piyakadosh baruch hu, yotzen neshmotzen shal Yisrael. Every dibur that Hashem said, the Jewish people's neshamas went out of their bodies. Shenema Nafshi Yosef Adabre, as another pasuk in Shirashirim, my soul went out when he spoke. So the question is, Ma'achal Shadibra Rishon Yosef Nishmasan, if the Nishamas went out by each Dibra, Dibra Sheni Heach Kibru, how were they able to receive the next Dibra? So the answer is, Hoded Tal Sha'osim Lahachis Ben Mesim, Hashem brought down the dew with which in the future he will be Machayim Mesim, Behech Yosef, and he revived them with that. Shenema, as the pasuk says, that same capital Samaches and Tilim that we were mentioning before, that talks about Matan Torah, Geshem Nedaves Tonif Alikim, you Hashem bring down a rain of benevolence, a rain of goodness. Your heritage, meaning Jewish people who are Hashem's heritage, Hashem's fortune in the world, the Nila, who are worn out after Kenanta, you set it up and made it firm through this Geshem, through this rain of dew that came down and revived them. So Amr, with the fragrance is also, before Hashem explained, the point of the fragrance is also, just like on Motzei Shabbos, on Neshamas are weak because we lost our Neshama Yisera and the fragrance has helped revive us, the same thing over here. And the Amr of Shalom, maybe called Dibra B'Dibra Shiyasim Piyakarish Bo, who caused me, so Alacharein, Yud Bez Mil. Every Dibra, the Jewish people ran backwards 12 mil, the entire length of the Machna. So they're so afraid that they're running, the ones who are in front are so afraid that they're running all the way to the back. Voy Malach HaSharis Medadin Oysen. And the Malach HaSharis had to help them come back closer together. Medadin means to help somebody walk. We're going to have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have, for example, Isha Medada Espina, that on Shabbos, a woman is allowed to, like, you have a little kid is walking, a toddler over there, and you're holding onto his hands and helping him walk. This is how the Malachim were helping the Jewish people. Shenema, as it says in the same capital, Malachetzvois, actually it says in the Pasuk, the Malachim of Hashem host, Yidoidun, they themselves move. Yidoidun means that they help others move. I'll teach you Yidoidun, Ali Yidadun. So don't read the second one, Yidoidun, that they move, but rather Yidadun, that they help others move. So the Malachim themselves move in order to help the Jewish people be able to come back. So Maharsha explains there were different levels, there were different groups among the Jewish people. You had the ones who are on a high enough level to stay alive. They stayed alive. They were terrified and ran back. Then you have the ones who were weak. And they needed, they were the ones who are on a lesser level, who were weak, and they needed to be revived with the fragrances. And then you have the ones whose neshamas actually left their body, and Hashem had to revive them. So each different people reacted differently. Okay. Shukriyach, everyone. And we'll continue tomorrow, and we'll finish up with getting back to Matan Torah, to talk more about Matan Torah and some other very interesting points.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the story with the minion in your show?
That is a